Hog Pesachs of Mayock.
And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan, along with my soulmate in Christ, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
And Todah Rabah, and God bless you all, as the Passover season of 8 days begins tomorrow night, and we will be continuing in Revelation 6 tonight. But first, I think it would be appropriate to pray the traditional Passover prayer in remembrance of their miraculous escape from Egypt's slavery.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, who had granted us life, sustained us, and enabled us to reach this occasion. We praise you, ruler of everything, who has kept us, raised us up, and brought us to this moment.
And Lord, we as Christians do thank you for grafting us into your promises. May we be worthy of your kindness and mercies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, the spring feasts do begin tomorrow night, and just to refresh you, the Jews refer to the entire 8 days as the Passover season, but actually only the first day is Passover on Nisan 14, and that's from sundown to sundown. And then begins the seven-day feast of unleavened bread.
But the whole season is 8 days in length.
Right, which includes the feast of the first fruits of his resurrection, which is biblically always on the Sunday during the week of unleavened bread.
And God purposely chose the feast of first fruits of the barley harvest for Yeshua to be resurrected.
Yes, because he is the first fruits of the resurrection. I wrote extensively about this in our recent newsletter, and we detailed the spring feast last year for 3 weeks, which is up on our webpage dating April 5th, 12th, and 19th. If you are a new believer or you just might need to refresh, we highly recommend you familiarize yourself with these actual appointments that God purposely orchestrated with man, where Yeshua has kept his first four appointments to the letter. Therefore, surely we'll keep the last three fall feast appointments as well.
And that is a promise.
As far as news goes, we still have crime, inflation, extreme weather lately, as in many tornadoes, and an ongoing war in Ukraine. And now Saudi Arabia is again cutting its oil production, which will raise the price of our gas even more. And on top of all that, it's an historic day. It's a grim turning point for America in what they are doing to President Trump. For as you know, he was indicted last Thursday and arraigned today. He, of course, pled not guilty and says he will fight this two-tiered system for the American people. You know, you remember how we were both thinking a few months ago that maybe he should just step down and enjoy the rest of his life?
Yes.
But now, knowing how badly the deep state wants him gone, we must support him.
Well, he does have the experience.
Right. He knows the ropes and his mistakes and who the enemy is, to include the rhinos, I might add.
Pray that true justice prevails.
Because it's his last chance to help us.
Right.
Those younger candidates can wait. And I have wondered, and it's just my personal thoughts, that once in D.C., would DeSantis turn into a rhino? Since he did go to Yale and Harvard, and he also joined the secret Jesuit Society of St. Elmo, which is kind of similar to Skull and Bones. Remember where Bush and Kerry were members? Again, I'm just saying.
Okay, enough of our politics. How's Israel doing?
Well, the Israeli protests are ongoing until Netanyahu cancels, instead of just pausing, his judicial reforms, which Biden told Netanyahu that he should cancel it and that he would not be invited to the White House anytime soon. He publicly rebuked him. Does Genesis 12:3 come to mind?
Yep.
But there was a good outcome, and that's from the Torah party in the Knesset, who tried to put forth a bill to make it illegal to evangelize a Jew, which we all know is especially aimed at Christians. But praise Jesus, Bibi shot it down immediately. We know he loves his Christian community, not just in Israel, but around the world. Some even say he's a closet believer.
You never know.
Right, because I hear there are quite a few.
Amen. Okay, if you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, either email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail, Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are greatly appreciated and tax deductible. You can also subscribe and donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all our past teaching newsletters and radio programs are archived for you to re-listen, pause it, so that your note-taking can be more relaxed.
All right. Okay, in the book of the Revelation, we're at the start of the seven-year tribulation, as noted by the seal judgments of chapter 6. Last week we saw the white horse come out first, bringing the Antichrist on the scene, carrying a bow, but no arrow.
The second red horse takes peace from the earth.
And the third black horse brings famine with extremely high inflation. So let's get right in and read about the fourth pale horse in verses 7 and 8.
When we opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death. And Hades followed with him, and power was given to him over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth.
So the fourth seal is the pale horse, represents death by the sword, hunger, and beasts of the field. Now, beast is number 2226, zoon in Greek, meaning a living thing, like anything like pestilence, microscopic germs,
infected mosquitoes,
venom from spiders and snakes, even tigers and that larger sort. Anyhow, it says by this time a fourth of the population will die.
Should make the globalist happy.
Well, a quarter of 8 billion people is 2 billion less, but don't forget the rapture will maybe take another billion.
Yeah, only God knows the real born-again believers.
I know, of course. And another way to reduce population will be the many martyrs of the next fifth seal. Remember, this is still the first half of the tribulation. Probably, I would guess, around the second year, maybe the end of the second year. So let's continue in Revelation 6, verses 9 through 11.
When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?"
Meaning the unrighteous.
Then a white horse was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed.
And when would that be completed?
By the end of the tribulation.
Mm-hmm. Now the sixth seal brings cosmic disturbances, verses 12 through 17.
I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place.
Now that's quite a sight for John to see. Verse 15.
And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in caves and in the rocks of the mountains.
And by the way, they do have underground bunkers under mountains.
And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?
So all the unrighteous were afraid, even the rich man's slaves trying to hide due to the earth shaking and the mountains and the islands being moved. So therefore, admitting the wrath of God has come. So we're about to see the second half of the tribulation to begin with the trumpet judgments of chapter 8. And we should point out that these seals of Revelation confirm the signs of Matthew 24. And it should, since Jesus is describing the tribulation in Matthew 24, and Luke and Mark do as well. Again, as we have said before, why doesn't John mention the tribulation in his gospel?
Well, because John's gospel is meant for the church, and we won't be here.
That is just so exciting to me. It's like confirmation by omission.
Ah, yes, the wisdom of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, we already covered the parenthetical chapter 7 last week, but once again, let us reiterate this important fact, and that is Revelation is written in chronological order, except on occasion, Jesus inserts an addendum, or what can be called a parenthetical chapter.
By the way segment.
Yeah. Just to better clarify to John the big picture in all this. In other words, these are explanatory matters that will transpire but are not contained within the judgments.
In order to bring the reader up to date.
And see the bigger picture. Now, we know chapter 6 begins the tribulation. But as stated, we also see in the next chapter 7 that he adds an important fact that first, just prior to the tribulation beginning, 12,000 Jews from each of the 12 tribes were just saved and are sealed for protection against all the coming judgments.
Nothing can harm them.
So we need to know that to better understand other passages. And, of course, we'll see this again in other places.
And once again, there just happens to be 7 total addendums.
Imagine that. Mm-hmm. Those that say this book is the hardest to understand, it's just simply because of not understanding the apocalyptic writing. God also reveals to John in chapter 7 that later others will also be saved. Of course, they're called the tribulation saints. So let's read chapter 7 verses, let's do 1 through 4.
After these things, I saw 4 angels standing at the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 wings of the earth, and the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the 4 angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all tribes of the children of Israel were sealed.
Okay, so check out Ezekiel chapters 8 and 9 for this anti-type. And we will let you read on your own the 12,000 from each tribe. But let's pick it up in verses 9, go through 12, where he tells John that others will be saved as well, the tribulation saints. And they're going to stand before the throne, and that's going to be in the millennial kingdom in Jerusalem, but again, on earth. And they're holding palm branches, which is a clue. It's the Feast of Tabernacles from Nehemiah 8:14, where they use them to make their sukkahs. It's a joyous plant, also used at Passover, but we know this is Tabernacles because that's when he returns in Revelation 19 on Yom Kippur. And Tabernacles is 5 days after that.
Okay, Revelation 7, verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number.
So that means a lot, and should encourage us all.
Of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
See, saints of God, this is not a hard book.
Amen.
Okay, let's finish chapter 7, picking it up at verse 13. And remember, this is parenthetical, denoting the future prize.
Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you know. So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will dwell among them.
Again, this is the future millennial kingdom on earth.
They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who sits is in the midst of the throne, will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.
Another clue, the millennial kingdom begins with the Feast of Tabernacles, because the fountain of living waters is a ritual done during Tabernacles. So, moving right along, we are now at the 8th chapter that begins with a short silence. It's the opening of the last seal, number 7.
Which actually begins the trumpet judgment.
Yes. Now, these judgments are more severe, even with a great star falling, perhaps a meteorite called wormwood, meaning bitter, where a third more, maybe another 2 billion, of the population die from drinking the contaminated water. So let's look at chapter 8, verses 1 through 6.
When he opened the seventh seal, there was a silence in heaven for about a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints.
The tribulation saints.
Ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the 7 angels who had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound.
Okay, first trumpet, vegetation struck. Verse 7.
The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth. And a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up.
Okay, second trumpet, the seas struck. Verse 8.
Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed.
Third trumpet, the waters become undrinkable. Verse 10.
Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter.
You know, NASA did a report about a year ago that they expected a big asteroid, and they even named it Apophis, to come very close to the Earth in 2029. Perhaps this is wormwood, then that's about the middle of the tribulation. If we leave 3.5 to 4 years before, it does add to our other thoughts about 2025 being a possible year for the rapture. Okay, two more verses. Now the fourth trumpet to strike our skies, and then I have an important comment. Let's look at verse 12 of chapter 8.
Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who were about to sound.
So we are definitely by now in the Great Tribulation. And we're going to pick it up in chapter 9 next week with the three woes. But I want to close with another, I think is an important fact, because verse 12 explains what Jesus meant back in Matthew 24:22, where he said about the tribulation,
and unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened.
So I've heard a lot of people, even prophets and teachers, say that that must mean that 7 years will be shortened. No, no, no. It just means the scorching daylight hours are shortened. Otherwise, the scorching sun would sear all the remaining people. So it'll get dark from about noon on. And another scripture to support what I just said happens to be in Amos 8, verse 9.
And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight.
So again, the tribulation does last exactly 7 lunar years. And now things are really about to get extremely bad. And with that said, who owns your soul? Is it Jesus? Will you escape the awful judgment that is surely coming? You can. It's just a prayer away. Sincerely repent and invite him inside your heart, and you will be set free. Let him speak to you through his word. That's how you grow. That's how you get discernment in this pretty wicked world that we're experiencing. So let Jesus rule over any addictions instead of the God of this world, who has been guiding your life and keeping you trapped, whether you know that or not. You know, demons are victors when Jesus isn't ruling your life. There is no in-between. And let me also mention to those of you who are saved, but you're lukewarm, wake up. Get your act together right now. You want to store those treasures in heaven while you still got a chance. And then your reward will be great. And that blesses the Father to give his children rewards. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing from number 622, which I sure hope you all have memorized. But it says, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom. Okay, so till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for our leaders and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her, you're going to prosper. Shalom till next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.